Bible reading this morning will be Psalm 25. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Indeed, let no one who waits on you be ashamed. Let those be ashamed who deal treacherously without cause. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all day. Remember, O Lord, your tender mercies and your loving kindness, for they are from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to your mercy, remember me. For your goodness' sake, O Lord, good and upright is the Lord. Therefore he teaches sinners the way. The humble he guides in justice, and the humble he teaches his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth to such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. Who is the man that fears the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way he chooses. He himself shall dwell in prosperity, and his descendants shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he will show them his covenant. My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn yourself to me and have mercy on me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart have enlarged. Bring me out of my distress. Look on my affliction and my pain and forgive all my sins. Consider my enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. Keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in you. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for you. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all their troubles.
Good morning. Thank Eric for that very long reading. Appreciate him doing that for us. We are looking at the Psalms and during these morning hours. And I had him read Psalm 25. Many believe that Psalm 25 was written by David at the time of his fleeing from Jerusalem when Absalom, his son, had usurped his throne. I think when you listen to what was read, you understand if that wasn't it, it was still at a time of great difficulty in David's life. We are always reminded when we study the Psalms that it's inspired literature, but it is all inspired poetry. And so with poetry, you always have to deal with the structure of the poetry and how that affects the message. And so there's two things about Psalm 25. Actually, there's three. One is that, as we've often talked about, the Hebrew way of thinking and putting bookends on things at the beginning, at the end, that is definitely true of this psalm, and we will observe that. The second thing that would not be real apparent to us as reading from the English Bible is that Psalm 25 is a form of an acrostic poem. And what an acrostic psalm is that if you were looking at a Hebrew Bible, every line, every stanza, the first word starts with the same letter. And it goes in the order of the Hebrew alphabet. And so that would be like us writing a poem or a song today that each stanza, the first one started with A, then B, then C, then D, and so forth. Now, the biggest example of that in the Bible, Psalm 119. Each grouping of eight verses in Psalm 19 is alphabetical by the Hebrew Bible. But there are several others in Scripture, and this is one of those. The other thing that I think is important because of the way it affects us looking at the psalm this morning is that the psalm is a series of three prayers. And in between each prayer, there is a meditation or an observation. And so that's we're going to look at that this morning because from an English point of view, an American point of view, if we would look at this, we might say, well, look, David's just completely changing a subject here. Well, no, he's not. The subject is a meditation coming out of his prayer. And I hope that we can at least demonstrate that in the little bit of time that we have to look at this. This is a long psalm, and we don't have that much time in this section, so we will probably be trying to move pretty quickly here once I can get my throat wet. Okay, so in that first prayer, which composes the first seven verses of the psalm, one of the great obvious overriding themes of the entire psalm is the fact that David has a trust in God. He is in the midst of a very difficult time in his life, and yet he still says, I'm going to lift up my soul to God. I trust him. In him I put my trust. We often think of prayers, though, as our attempts to ask God for things. And so that comes to the forefront in the first prayer here, which is verses 1 through 7. David says in this prayer, "Do not let me be ashamed." And this is the bookend. He says this at the very beginning in his first prayer, and he also says this in his last prayer. And so these words have been turned into a song that is in a lot of songbooks used by members of the church. And so you may actually be familiar with the specific wording and the way David says that. Do not let me be ashamed. Do not let my enemies exult over me. And so the question is, what is he talking about when he says, don't let me be ashamed? And there's a couple of possibilities. One, he could simply be talking about the shame of the current situation in his life, that he has been driven from Jerusalem by Absalom. But you remember, if you remember the Old Testament story, there was more than that. One of the things that Absalom did was go into David's concubines openly on the roof of the palace, showing his lack of respect for the king who happened to be his father. And so when you read the story of this in the Old Testament historical accounts, there's a number of things involved in Absalom's rebellion that various people comment to David concerning how they might shame him or embarrass him. And so that's a possibility. A second possibility is that he says, don't let me be ashamed as the king that I am so openly dependent upon you. One of the things that we can see perhaps in the world among people is as people become more powerful and more famous, gain more notoriety, that perhaps what had been an openly expressed dependence upon God, that they become more and more dependent on themselves and the things of the world, and less dependent upon God. And so it could be that he's basically saying, don't let me let this situation change the way I feel and openly confess my relationship to you. Or it could be actually both. If you look at Psalm 25 and verse 3, he says, none of those who wait for you will be ashamed. Those who deal treacherously without cause will be ashamed. It seems as if David says, during this time of struggle in my life, there are clearly two groups of people, those who trust in you and those who don't. Those who trust in you should never have any reason to be ashamed. And they should not be made to feel ashamed by those who do not trust in you. I'm not sure which of those three it is. But, and it may be one something else that I didn't think about, but it is very obvious that David, at the very beginning of his petitions to God, says, I am in a very difficult time in my life. Don't let me act like I'm ashamed of you as I go through this stress. Second thing he asks, he says, don't let my enemies exalt over me. I've got problems. Don't let them gain. Don't let them come out on top in this thing. And so that's one that he said. And then the third request is, he says, guide me. And he expresses that, as happens often in Hebrew, but in the Psalms particularly, he stresses this, I need your guidance, by repetition in the form of a triplet here. He says, make me to know your ways, teach me your paths, lead me in your truth, and teach me. And so he says, I need the guidance that you can give. Then fourthly, he asks God to continue his compassion and loving kindness. And I believe that there's a great observation there, because as we've repeated a couple of times, David's in great stress. Things are not going well for him when he writes this psalm. And he says, continue your loving kindness, continuing your compassion. A lot of times people in the world, even people that seem to deem themselves to be religious, when things get really tough in their life, they don't see compassion and loving kindness from God in that. It's, why are you doing this to me? Or why are you letting this happen to me? So I think it's a great observation that David, who we know is in great distress when he writes these words, in his prayer says, will you continue to love me and have compassion on me? And that he is in a time of great trial while this is happening. And then he asks God to forgive his sins. He says, don't hold my sins against me. He says, don't remember the sins of my youth. David is obviously a much older man at the time of Absalom's rebellion. And so he's got a whole lifetime of things that he can look back on, where sometimes he was a great hero, and other times he failed to be what he ought to be. And so he says, don't dwell on those things. Lord, forgive me. So the first meditation that intersperses between this and the second prayer is, as David prays about these things, it causes him to think about God's character. And so what I've done on the chart here is that the way David does this is, he mentions a quality of God's character and attaches that, or refers to an action that comes out of God's character. And so this is in Psalm 25, verses 8 through 10. This is the second stanza of the psalm. And so what these are is, he says, God is good and upright. 25, verse 8. And because of that, he instructs sinners in the way. Then he says God is just. Justice is where God will lead you. And he says that God will lead and teach the humble in his way. God's just to the humble, he says, but if you're humble, God will lead you in the ways of his humility. And then he says, you are loving kind, and you are truth. And he says to those who will follow him in that, he will provide his path. And so God has character that David praises, and he says the things that God does for those who follow him just emanate from that character. This is who he is, so this is what he does. And I don't think that's anything that's unique to David's Psalms. I think Jesus reflects on that when he talks about that it's not what goes into a person that defiles them, but it's what comes out of them, that what they are in their heart causes them to produce certain things. Well, that starts with God. And so David praises these qualities of God, and then says, because of that, this is the way God acts towards us. And that brings us to the second prayer, which is a very brief. It's actually just verse 11, where he says, "For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great." And so David calls for God and asks him to once again pardon him from his sins. But he says, "For your name's sake." And so I think that relates to the situation that David is in. God has anointed David to be the king. God has expressed what he wants for the nation. Now someone is leading a rebellion against that to try to unseat God's anointed king. And so David may very well have had some feeling that it was because of his sins. And in fact, if you'll remember earlier in David's life, one of the things God has told him because of what David did with Bathsheba and ultimately killing Uriah, he says, trouble will never leave your house. And there's a number of incidents in the life of David with his family and his children that cause him great grief. And so, without question, he's looking at Absalom's rebellion as part of the consequences of the sins from when he was younger. And so he says, forgive me of those things for your name's sake, because I am the king you anointed. And Absalom not only is rebelling against his father, he is rebelling against the order that God had put into Israel. And he says, so forgive me. And basically he's saying, address this situation. He says, for my iniquity is great. And this is one of the things about David that I think is so interesting. I try to wrestle with that as to what it means about Mike Grushon, who has some very serious things that bother him in life and tempt him, and some sins that he struggles with, that the attitude of David, because what do we know about him? Well, he's God's chosen one. God repeatedly says, compares every other king to David and says they weren't faithful like David was. We know he's called a man after God's own heart. God said that about him. And yet his viewpoint is, my sin is very, very great. I am a sinner that needs forgiveness. And I read that and I think about the comparison to the Apostle Paul, who we also generally view as a hero, a faithful person, a great servant of God. But what did he say? He said, I'm the chiefest of sinners. And when I preach to others, I have to buffet my own body, lest after preaching to others, I would be lost. So we need to understand and appreciate this sense of need for forgiveness. I knew this one would challenge my time management, because there's so much in it. And so that leads to a reflection about how God will deal with those who are truly faithful to him. And David expresses this in two poetic couplets, where there is a first part and then something connected to it. And this is in verses 12 through 15. So he says, God will instruct them in the right way, and God will prosper their soul. Then the second couplet is, God will make them know his covenant. And then there's a really interesting thing that happens, because David has been talking third person. God will instruct them in the way. God will prosper their soul. God will make them to know the covenant. But then in that second couplet, he says, God will pluck my feet out of the net. I'm the one that's in trouble here. And so he goes from the general, that what God will do for anyone that fears him, to say, I have confidence God's going to deliver me from this trial. And then the third and final prayer, which again is long. So if you notice the pattern, long prayer, meditation, really short prayer, meditation, long prayer. So there, that's the structure that's there in the Psalms. And we can't really, we don't have the time to totally go through all this, but the prayer has a couple of parts. First, he requests God's care. He talks about why he needs God's care, and this is what David says about himself. I'm lonely, I'm afflicted, I'm troubled, I'm distressed, I am burdened down by my sins. I would suggest to you that one of the observations I would make after having been active in preaching for over 40 years is the number of times that I've had to try to help people who are expressing these things, and all of these things are making them say, well, I can't worship right now, I feel this way. I can't pray right now because I feel this way. I don't want to talk to you right now because I feel this way. And David says, this is why I need you. I need you now more than I need you other times. And we need to kind of attach that to ourselves and our own lives. That when things are the worst in our lives, that's when we need God the most. And when we should depend upon him. And then in closing, he again focuses on his petitions. So he says, you take notice of my enemies. I'm trusting you, God, to guard my soul. This is a trying time. Guard me. Deliver me. Then the other end of the bookend, after saying all this, don't let me be ashamed of you. Preserve me. And then interestingly enough, after this, most of this prayer is all about David. And there's nothing wrong when we are in these kind of conditions in our life for most of the prayer to be about us and our relationship to God and our need. But it is interesting that with all of that, the thing David closes about, and don't forget there are others that my situation is causing a problem for. This isn't just David's problem, it's the nation's problem. So he closes with the idea, while you're taking care of me, please take care of my nation. Sometimes when we have these kind of problems, our need is great, but it may not be the nation, it may be our family that God needs to be taking care of, because we may be impacting our family, or our friends, or our church, our church family. And so don't forget the impact of our troubles on others and bring them before God in prayer. So appreciate that. I want a couple minutes over. So Brother Paul has the prayer, and after that prayer we'll be dismissed to our classes.